This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today I'm speaking to Xiaohong Yuan, CEO of Architectural Services and Building Facade Specialist Uniwall APS Holding. Thank you very much for joining us. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for that, Lynn.
So Uniwall listed in mid-January of this year. Tell me, why did you choose to list on the LEAP market specifically?
Basically, as an SME, funding is always a challenge, the most challenging part to us. And of course, we appreciate BUSA actually provided this platform for us, especially for the fundraising. So this is a very suitable platform. And we spent almost a year for the preparation and approval for that. Mm.
At your listing, Uniwall's stock opened at a 25% premium to your offer price of 16 sen. And since your listing, it has traded as high as 28 sen. That's a pretty impressive jump. So do you expect your share price to continue to rise?
Thanks for the support. Basically, I think it's mostly due to the announcement that we are getting a new job coming in. And we are very confident that we are getting more jobs in the near future. As we mentioned, that we are lending about 1.4 billion, especially in Melbourne and locally. And we are very positive on that, on the price.
The news of a new job coming in, that would be, which job would that be?
Hopefully, the announcement will be next 1-2 weeks. Yeah, I will be in, I will say it's in KL, Klang Valley.
All right, thank you. Aside from that, I guess, what drove your decision to list at this point in your corporate life? Because Uniwall APS is a 30-year-old company. You were first incorporated as a Uniwall Architectural in 1999. So what made you decide to choose 2018?
Basically, as we mentioned before, so we started from a very small company. For the past 20 years, actually, we've gone through up and down. So, and the demand of the facade project especially is getting higher and higher. And especially on the contract sum. Last 10 or years or 20 years, you're talking about 10 million is a big job. But now it's much more than that. Like lately, we secured a job from TDDI. It's about 48 million. The hotel, office, and the condominium. So I would say easily, if you're talking about 5 or 6 jobs, it's estimated will be more than 200-300 million. So with that kind of situation, so as an SME or September Heart is pretty challenging on the funding. And not only the capacity of production, it's also the working capital. So that's one of the main reasons why in 2018.
So you mentioned that you see the facade industry growing over the next few years. But the Finance Ministry's economic report for 2019, for example, they said that growth momentum for the construction industry is mainly going to be sustained by the affordable housing and industrial segments, neither of which I believe you are really in. I guess I'd like to know what your outlook is and why you think that the facade sector will continue to improve.
Basically, if you look through the development trends in all over the world, especially at the city centre, so our facade system, the unitized curtain molding system, actually is still the trending. You can't see any substitution yet and for the coming 20, 30 years. And of course, Malaysia, construction always an up and down industry. So by this moment, what we are focusing on is more on the office towers, hotels, or even the university or entertainment hub. Of course, we noticed that there is oversupply on the apartments, high-end service apartment. So we always careful on that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your listing proceeds. So from your listing, you raised 7.3 million ringgit, about half of which was earmarked for construction of your new factory in Semenye. The thing is, 3.5 million is only a quarter of the actual cost of the facility. You've said previously that the remainder of the cost of the facility will be paid for through a combination of internally generated funds and bank borrowings. So could you give us a percentage of how much you're planning to take in cash versus borrowings?
Basically, I think we secured the loan from HSBC for this portion, about 30 million for that, inclusive the land. So, of course, all the while, we are more concerning on how to controlling our gearing. You know, we're trying to minimize it. You know, of course, at the moment, we are still using the loan, but we're confident that we can use more on our internal fund. For basically, we are talking about 30% for internal fund, another 30-40% for the loan. We are trying to figure out that. And of course, the balance will be the process that we secure, we opted for that.
So 30% would be internally generated funds. My question then would be, where will you be generating these funds from? Because from your balance sheets, you only had about 76,000 ringgit in cash on your books. Fixed deposits, you had something like a 1.6 million ringgit. Will you be able to generate enough funds internally to cover the remainder 30%?
For info, I think we're going to do an announcement of the 2018 unaudited account. I believe that there will be a very convincing result. So you'll see.
Could you give us a preview?
I will share with you the news on that.
Okay. All right. With the construction of the new factory, essentially you'll be doubling your production capacity to about 100,000 square meters of product per month. But your current utilization rate is only at around 63%. There was also the recent announcement that you've received a letter of award for a project with China Construction Yangtze River. So I wanted to know, how much is that going to increase your utilization rates by?
We estimated this job will occupy 10 to 20% of our capacity.
Okay, so 70 to 80 odd percent utilization rates. Okay, and once the new factory comes into play, when do you think you'll be able to reach 100% utilization rate?
So the new factory will be in place in the first half of the of this year. And of course, we are, as mentioned now, so coming these few weeks, we hope that we can announce more incoming projects. So when the time, I think the situation will be allowed. Yeah.
You've also completed several projects for the Malaysian government here, including facades for the Ministry of Higher Education as well as the Tourism Ministry. How did you come by these? I mean, you're not a Bumiputra company.
That was about 10 over years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually, we are under a local main contractor, been a good year. So when that time, we are quite active in Putrajaya. Yeah. So in fact, the contract actually from the been a good year.
I've been speaking to Xiao Hongyuan, CEO of Uniwall APS Holding. After the break, we'll continue talking about Uniwall's businesses, both here in Malaysia and abroad. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Xiao Hongyuan, CEO of building facade services provider Uniwall APS Holding. So in 2017, SsangYong Engineering contributed some 92% of Uniwall's total revenue. That's 8.6 million ringgit. However, in 2018, your company said that it didn't foresee continuing to be reliant on SsangYong in future. What happened to the business relationship with SsangYong Engineering?
I think we are still maintaining good relationship with SsangYong. Talk about the 2017 project. Actually, that project is actually one of the biggest projects in town and designed by Mr. John Novell, the world top five architect from Europe, Paris. And the investor is from Singapore, Winter Asia. So basically that job to us is quite challenging. Yeah, it's mainly because of the design and also the arts of the glass, the printing, the patterns. You know. So, therefore, when the time we spend most of our resources for that, so sometimes it's more on project basis.
So do you anticipate potentially dealing with SsangYong again in future?
Yeah, we are very positive on that.
Okay. So now your business is, that is in 2018, your business was primarily drawn from Hub Construction and Persona Metro, who together offered only slightly more than half of the revenue that SsangYong did. Going forward, do you think that they can fill the gap left by SsangYong?
Basically, we have contract from Hawabi, the ICTs, and also the TDDI that we mentioned just now. And as mentioned, these few weeks, we hope we can have a more announcement for that. So should be able to fill the gap, as what you mentioned.
Persona Metro has announced recently its subsidiary has received the letter of acceptance from MRCB for substructure work on a mixed development project. Is Uniwall part of that project?
Yeah, we did try very hard for that.
But you were not part of that project?
At the moment, no.
Okay. No. Let's talk about your tender book of 1.4 billion ringgit. Now, as you mentioned earlier, some of the projects that you are tendering for are located in Melbourne, Australia. So which one of the construction subsectors are you looking to enter? Residential, infrastructure, commercial?
Okay. So we are now more on office, hotels, you know. It's mainly because of the oversupply, you know, of the residential properties.
Right, because Australia is also facing quite the housing glut.
Yeah, in fact, we tender a few hotels and also the student quarters in Melbourne, especially. That's how we targeting on.
I see. Why did you choose to tender in Australia and not somewhere closer to home in Southeast Asia?
For your info, for the past 5-10 years, so Australia actually is a huge demand, especially on our facade system. So, and the situation over there is a bit different. So they are more on looking for supplies from countries like Malaysia, China. So the installation normally will carry out by the builders. Yep. So that actually offering us an opportunity to penetrate that market.
I see. And are you looking at other countries in Southeast Asia at the same time?
Yes, but that will be a very significant approach. Hmm. So if there is any result, so we'll announce that soon, is it?
Uniwall currently, I mean, you operate wholly in Malaysia. So far, you haven't completed any overseas projects to date. So do you have the expertise to handle projects in Australia with the different regulations involved?
Yeah, for Australia project, we are more on surprise, yep. Which is, as mentioned, the management or installation or the project management will be carried by the builders themselves.
But what indications do you have then that an Australian company will choose a Malaysian company like yourself to supply them with the materials needed for their projects, I mean, without a track record in Australia?
Basically, we have a good relationship with the international facade consultants. You know. So with their recommendation, we say the system is, I would say, is quite similar, but it's more on... Because in Australia, they normally they get it from China or Malaysia. They're doing that, you know. So that is how we penetrate on that. So since the system is the same and the quality and what they are looking for, so therefore we are confident that we can penetrate that. Mm.
Do you have a partner in Australia, perhaps an in that you have into the business there?
At the moment, no.
Right. Let's bring it back home a little bit. Earlier, we spoke about you receiving a letter of award from China Construction Yangtze River Malaysia for a mixed development project. So China Construction Yangtze River is a subsidiary of China Construction Third Engineering Bureau Group, which itself is a subsidiary of a state-owned entity, China State Construction Engineering. How did you come by this?
Actually, this job is the NSC tendering. So meaning to say is actually we are selected contractor by the owner. So the China company actually is a main contractor for that. So there's not much conflict on that.
So how are you positioning yourself for more business from overseas? Are you anticipating more jobs from China Construction Yangtze River?
Yeah, we are open. As mentioned, the FASA system so it's getting more mature. Mm. So we, in fact, the unitized curtain warning system, we are more focusing on high-rise building. It's not only in Malaysia. It's also like places like Australia, even in Asia. So we are open for that because since the system is applicable to all the countries that we mentioned, so we are keen for all this diversification. And that. Mm.
Yeah. Speaking of diversification, are you confined to just doing building facades? I mean, why aren't you diversifying your product offerings here in Malaysia as opposed to jumping overseas to Australia?
Basically, for the past 20 years, you know, we only focus on facade. So, of course, our expertise is more on facade system. We are open for this any JV with the developers, even the Mincon, for diversification. But the core business still in facade.
I see. Okay. I mean, you incorporated Uniwall APS Holding last year. Originally, you were solely Uniwall Architectural. So are you then looking to bring in any other companies or any other businesses under the umbrella of Uniwall APS?
Yeah, this is one of the proposal from our partners. You know. So, of course, we as a new listed company, so we are open for all the opportunities for downstream or even upstream. But it's, you know, we are more still, at the moment, still focusing on our core business, yep, the FASA system.
And so there are quite large international players, AROP and ALT, that come to mind in the market that could take more risks than you as an SME and therefore bid for larger projects. So is your aspiration to play on that sort of level?
Although our advantages, you know, Uniwall, actually, we are more focusing on cost control and quality control. So this is one of our priority and our advantages for that. So we understand that there's always a competition everywhere. So therefore, we are more focusing on how to deliver quality products as well as cost control, competitive costs that to the clients that we are dealing with. Controllable expectation that we are talking about.
Your products use steel, aluminium, glass. So where do you source your raw materials from?
For the past 20 years, we have maintained a good relationship with our local partners like LB Aluminium Berhad, like Ajia Glass, Ajia Berhad. So for that relationship, you know, we are quite comfortable with their support. And of course, we are more preferable to support the local industry. It's not only the price or commercial, but it's more on the relationship and the support that we gain for the past 20, 30 years. Yeah.
Right. But when you say prefer to source from local companies, that means you do import some from overseas companies?
Yeah, especially special items like stainless steel, like spider-crane systems, which we can't get it here. So that we have no choice on that.
Mm. So now, of course, there is the US-China trade war happening. Last year, we saw steel and aluminium tariffs come into effect, which did have an impact on steel and aluminium prices. Going forward, how do you think the outcome of the China-US trade negotiations will affect you?
The effect actually is quite substantial. But of course, with our good relationship with our partners, like I mentioned just now, so they're always taking care of this volatile situation. So that's how we can maintain our costing, especially the price that they supply to us.
So perhaps you could elaborate more on your hedging strategies going forward. How are you planning to protect yourself against this potential price volatility?
The partners that we mentioned, so basically they are very supportive, especially on the price, maintaining the price on that. So as you know, normally the construction period will be 1 to 3 years. So with this period, so people like LP, they are able to maintain for us. There's something is quite, regardless of the volatility of the market that we mentioned.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Han Yuan, for joining us. I've been speaking to Xiao Han Yuan, CEO of Uniwall APS Holdings, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.